Tasha Torres. I'm a spinning teacher, a recovering academic, and the founder of Sheep Spot, where we're on a mission to revolutionize spinning education by using the power of online courses and communities to help spinners make more yarns they love and enjoy every step of the process. These days, I can make just about any yarn I can imagine, but believe me, I was not a natural spinner. Now, many skeins and handspun projects later, spinning allows me to express myself creatively and quiet my mind no matter how crazy the world around me gets. I created this podcast to give you both a clear strategy to become a skilled, confident, and versatile spinner, and lots of quick, actionable tactics that will level up your yarn making quickly and easily. If you're an inquisitive hand spinner, you are in the right place. And I'm so glad that you're here. If you've ever knit with handspun yarn, you know that handspun is just wonderfully different from commercial yarn in lots of ways. In this episode, I'm going to give you three tips that will help you manage the unique characteristics of handspun yarn and get great results in your projects. Hello there, darling Sheep Spotter. Welcome to episode 95 of the Sheep Spot podcast. I'm Sasha, and my job is to help you make more yarns that you love. To me, handspun yarn feels almost alive, especially compared to most commercial yarns, which for all their consistent perfection, usually feel kind of flat to me. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Commercial yarns mostly do what they're told, but handspun definitely has a mind of its own. Mostly though, knitting with handspun is different from knitting with commercial yarn for me, because having already touched every inch of my handspun, it feels like I'm hanging out with an old friend. It's an opportunity to reacquaint myself with it and to learn more about it in a whole new context. Working with my own yarn also allows me to see the effects of all the choices I've made in designing the yarn, and to see whether those choices have paid off in the ways that I expected. Finally, every time I knit or weave with my handspun, I deepen my understanding of fiber by seeing how it behaves under different conditions. Using my yarns has taught me so much. That said, there are some particular characteristics of handspun yarn that require some consideration. Your handspun is likely less consistent than yarn made by a machine, and it's useful to know that and plan for it going in. So here are three things that I like to do when I'm working with a yarn that I've made myself. Before I get into it, though, I want to offer a little caveat. I'm not going to talk much in this episode about whatever design decisions I might have made in the initial planning stage. That's really a whole other discussion. It involves fiber choice and spinning method and so forth. I'm going to focus in this episode on situations in which I'm using handspun that I didn't spin with a particular project in mind. And for me, that's the vast majority of my handspun yarn. I usually spin first and ask questions later. So with that caveat, let's go. So the first thing that I think is very important, and I learned this the hard way, is that you want to measure the length of your yarn carefully. So for years, I measured, and I'm putting that word in scare quotes because I really was not measuring, and that's the point of this story. For years, I measured the length of my yarn by just counting the loops on my 2-yard nitty knotty and multiplying that number by 2. And I kept running out of yarn or finding myself in nail-biting yarn chicken situations. I think I may have a little post-traumatic yarn chicken disorder. Anyway, I brought it all on myself because I was measuring my yarn wrong in a way that systematically overestimated my yardage. And if you've been in the sheep spot world for a while, listen up, because I did this wrong for years, and for years I told other people to do it wrong. So now I'm going to tell you how to do it right. And this really will save you in lots of situations. So the reason I was systematically overestimating the yardage was that when your yarn is on the nitty knotty, it's under tension and it also hasn't been washed yet. But when you knit with it, it's not going to be under the same amount of tension, and it will have been washed. And depending on the fiber and to some extent on the finishing method, your skein may be quite a bit shorter when it's off the nitty knotty and it's been washed and dried. So I still count the loops, but here's what I do now instead of blithely assuming that each loop is 2 yards long, which it probably is not. I actually measure it. Imagine that. So after my yarn is finished and it's dry, I lay it flat and I measure how long the skein is in inches. Then I multiply that number by 2 because I'm just measuring half of the whole loop. So I multiply by 2 to get the length of each loop. I then take that number and multiply by the number of loops. And then I divide by 36 to get a total length in yards. If you're using metric and you want to know how to do this for centimeters, you do it, or for meters as opposed to yards, then what you need to do is measure how long the skein is in centimeters, multiply that number by 2 to get the length of each loop, take that number, multiply by the number of loops, and divide by 100 to get the total length in yards. This gives me a very accurate number, which is usually anywhere from 20 to 30% less than the number I get by just multiplying the number of loops by 2, which is quite a difference. No wonder I was running out of yarn all the time. There is a freebie for episode 22 of the podcast that walks you through how to measure everything about your yarn, and I will link to that in the show notes. So that handout covers not just measuring length, but also wraps per inch, twist angle, twist per inch. It will walk you through measuring all the things. So go grab that if you have not done so already, because it's a useful thing to have. I found that when I measure my yardage in this way, so by actually physically measuring the length of the loops, I get a number that is very, very close to the number I get when I use my yardage counter from Dreaming Robots, which, by the way, I highly recommend, and I should probably do a review of that at some point. So somebody remind me, because it's a really great, inexpensive, relatively speaking, tool. All right. Thing number 2, when you are working with hand spun, you want to even things out. So some of the issues that arise when knitting with hand spun yarns have to do with inconsistencies in your yarn, both within a single skein and from one skein to the next. And I have a number of tactics that I use to mitigate any inconsistency. The most important of these tactics is that I always, always, always spin all of my singles before I ply. As I go, I rewind my singles onto storage bobbins, and I talk about this in episode 12 of the podcast, and I give you a review of a really nice, inexpensive bobbin winder in episode 36. So I spin all my singles, then I rewind all of them onto storage bobbins, and then I ply them together randomly. And this ensures that any inconsistency in my singles diameter is going to be spread out over all of the yarn in the project. Conversely, if you have spun some singles and plied them, and then spun some more singles and plied those, the two skeins are more likely to be more different from each other. And if I were working in that way, which, as I say, I always spin all of my singles before I ply. But if you find for whatever reason that you've got you've spun some singles and then plied them and then spun some more singles for the same project and plied those, then I would definitely recommend that you alternate skeins as you are knitting to make that difference less noticeable in the fabric. I find alternating skeins to be a bit of a pain, but this is a situation in which I would absolutely alternate skeins. For the most part, when I'm knitting with my hand spun, and I've done all of these things to try to make sure that the skeins are really as similar to each other as I can make them. Mostly I only alternate skeins for color management. I don't usually have to do it because I'm worried that my yarn is inconsistent skein to skein. Thing three, knit a bigger swatch. When I'm working with a hand-spun yarn and gauge is important, I will often make a bigger swatch than I do with a commercial yarn. Again, because my hand-spun is less consistent and I want the best possible gauge measurement. So in addition to making a big swatch, and I usually do at least a 44-stitch swatch, so I'll do garter edges for two stitches on either side, and then I will knit for 40 stitches in the middle. And that usually gives me a pretty, assuming that I'm working with a sport weight yarn and up, that usually gives me a pretty big swatch. In addition, I usually swatch with several different needle sizes to ensure that I'm getting a fabric that I like and that is right for the intended use. I don't make multiple swatches. I knit the same swatch with different size needles, so I only have to cast on once. So I try to start with the largest needle I think might work. I knit a couple of inches in stockinette, and then I record the US needle size, which is what I just instinctively use, having learned to knit in the US. So I record the US needle size by knitting the corresponding number of purl stitches in the middle of a row with the right side facing me so that I can just count the purl stitches and know what needle size that is. And then I'll knit another couple of inches in stockinette. I'll do a purl row on the right side to divide the sections of my swatch. And then I will switch needles. And I usually know which direction I want to go in when I've tried three or four different needle sizes. So if you are planning to alternate skeins in your project, obviously you're going to want to do that in your swatch as well. So we've talked about measuring the length of your yarn accurately, some steps you can take to make inconsistencies in diameter less evident in your final project, and I've given you some swatching tips. I really hope that these have been useful to you. So I would also really love to know, what tips and tricks do you swear by when you're knitting with your hand spun? There is a Post in the Flock, Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners, where you can let me know and discuss this episode with other podcast listeners. I will link to that thread in the show notes, which you can find at sheepspot.com/podcast/episode95. That is it for me this time. I will be back next time with an episode about how to use Ravelry to make better projects with your hand spun. While you're waiting for that episode, spin something, and then maybe even knit something. It will do you good. Have you joined the Flock yet? The Flock is Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners. As a member, you'll get access to a complete library of podcast episodes, all the free resources I've created for the podcast, several self-guided challenges, our Friday spinning check-in, and more. Head to theflock.sheepspot.com to sign up.